Oh, they sing that like they mean it, don't they? Yeah, great. Thank you, choir. Welcome to each and every one this morning. Very special day. Every day is special, and especially on the Lord's Day, it's a special. Hello, Vern, back there. Didn't greet you again this morning. I don't know where you's at. Yeah. So, greetings to everybody this morning. And a great day. And so, this day today is kind of a special day for us because we recognize it to be a memorial day of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful, wonderful God we have, and a great Savior that will lay down his life and then take it up so you and I could live. He died for us and he lives for us. He died so that we won't have to die, but we will live with him forever. Great. Welcome. Now, we've been into Luke, and we've been into the stories of the going to the tomb all morning. And we're going to continue there. So I'm going to read once again. And this is probably the third time we've heard this. But hey, we just can't hear it enough, can we? Luke 24, first 12 verses. We'll use that for the message again this morning. And they read like this for you folks that weren't here earlier. And they read, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, there came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which had prepared for certain, and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, therefore, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces unto the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the leaven and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles." Amen.
I did this once this morning, and I must not have got it right because I'm doing it again. So y'all say a prayer for me. And in it.
69, sing the first and last verse.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and
for this is my blood that is shed for the remission. And that you took it to be shed for me for the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth for the fruit of the vine until the day when I created you and my Father's kingdom.
Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time that we can come together, and we're thankful for the good people of like faith that is gathered here this morning. And Heavenly Father, we thank you that this special day, and we thank you, dear God, that this table that's set. And Heavenly Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ instituted this, that we would be reminded week after week. And we really need that, dear Lord, because we're so forgetful. And we never want to forget the price paid at Calvary. We never want to forget the resurrected Christ that lives and lives within us if we allow him. So, Heavenly Father, help us to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. In this special day, Heavenly Father, help us to realize the wonder-working power of God that took place on a resurrection day of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we praise you and we thank him for what he's done for us. In his name, amen.
Father, once again, we're thankful for the back in the house this morning. We're thankful you providing for us, provide for our families, also this congregation, this church. We're thankful we have a place that we come to worship. We pray that this will be used for better than thy kingdom. Ask you to bless it, also bless the giver. Be with us as we continue this morning. The advance and brings the morning's message. These words we ask in thy name.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house, especially today on this very, very special day, and hopefully that the resurrection did what is on your mind or was on your mind as you begin to come to the Lord's house this morning. We're glad to see some of the folks back that we haven't seen for a while. We're glad to see Wayne and Fanny. They've been had some little health issues, and we're so glad to see you folks back this morning. Welcome. And let's see who else is back. And we have a young fellow back here that I believe is the first time he's been here, maybe. And we welcome you, young fellow. And it's just good to see you in the Lord's house. And it's good to know that you've got a thought, you've got a mind, you've got a love for the Lord. That's great. Great, great. All right. Okay, a couple of things to share with you. Oh, we got a birthday or two here. Sierra, four, third. Liz, you going to have a birthday? You going to be sweet 16?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll go for that.
What about you?
And Benny Robbins, are you going to be 16?
Well, we're moving on. Okay, and this Friday night will be our fun food fellowship night, and we sure want to encourage you to come to be a part of that. Boy, we had a real good meal this morning, I'll tell you. Thanks for those people who came to the sunrise service and brought a good meal. Lordy, man, I wish you'd have been here and enjoyed it. And man, oh man, in fact, I don't know, man, it got me so tight I can't hardly talk. You know, but it's great, thank you. And folks, Friday night will be a great night, so we're going to continue. Bible study tonight is dismissed because of the people's going to be visiting with family and so forth. And next week, Duda's going to be leading our Bible study at 5 o'clock, and we're not going to be here. And so we thank him for that. And so folks plan to come and listen. It's been a while since we let the elder teach. So it'll be good. And we thank you for doing that for us. So next Sunday night, then after, but be here Friday night if you will at 6:30, and we'll plan just for a great evening together. And then the next week, we'll be back to our regular services and then our Bible study. We have been enjoying our 5 o'clock Bible study, and we're studying different subjects and so forth, and we want you to be a part of that. And if you've got a subject you'd like to have discussed, you give it to us. And Dudo or myself or one of the fellows there that's going to be leading, we're going to be working around different ones, going to be leading in the class. And if you got a subject you want that you're interested in, that you need want some better understanding in or whatever it might be, give it to us, and we'll work on it, and we'll present that and have a class in that. So we have a good time in our Bible study class. All right, anything else taking place we need to announce in an announced way? Okay. Let's look at our prayer list, and we still have several people on our prayer list, and we want you to keep in mind each and every one of them. And we're going to name a few because of the conditions we've seen them. Some have improved, and hopefully everyone else is doing well. And while it's on my mind, Virginia's sister, Agnes, has been moved to a care home.
Aunt.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I thought you was about the same age, and I thought you were sisters.
You're the same age I am.
Okay. But no, joking aside, Agnes is in a care home now in Lexington, and so keep her in your daily prayers. She seems to be getting, she talked to her yesterday, she seemed to be like settled in all right and kind of thinks things are going okay. And just pray that things will go well for her. But then looking on our others that we've had on our prayer list, and we've got a couple people missing. I don't know, I should have asked about them that's on our prayer list. Let's see who else. And Pauline Cook. And Pauline, as you know, has been having quite a bit of difficulty with her breathing and so forth. And talking to her yesterday, and Doodle said this morning, she feels to be a little bit stronger. And hopefully that she will, and just keep praying that she'll be strengthened up. Boy, I'll tell you, it probably really saddened her that she couldn't be here this morning, couldn't be here today. I mean, she just loves, she, you know, that's one of the women that would just loves to be here. And I know it probably hurt her heart to not be here today with you folks. She just loves you so much and loves the Lord and loves this place. And and then also we notice Peggy is absent, but she's down with the daughter, Amy, and grandson visiting down there. And so I guess we need to pray for Doodle. I was going to say pray for Peggy and her safe travels and so forth, but pray for Doodle. But bless her heart, we miss them, but we know they're having a good visit and so forth. And of course, a lot of people traveling, and our young people, traveling and so forth. But I went to Maxie wasn't feeling good one day this week, just one day, and praise the Lord. But she come in and she said she would sure like to have what kind of is it? Burger King sandwich, you know. We like them Burger King sandwich. And we had a Burger King down Dry Ridge. And so I said, well, if you want one, I'll go get it. And she put this money in my hand. and I went to get it for her. And I drove in down there, and that place locked up, closed up. So I had a car back. I said, you got a second choice? I said, they're locked up, closed up. Went out of business. She said, well, I'll take a Big Mac. So I went over to McDonald's, and I'm telling you, I pulled right in behind the longest bus you've ever seen. It rushed from here down the corner, and them school kids got off that thing. And I tell you what, I called back. I said, you got a third choice? I ain't going to wait on all them, man. So listen, those young people, they're out for a great time this week, but pray for them. Hey, there's a lot of dangers out there for our young people. And just pray and pray that all of them, all across the nation, will have a great vacation time. It certainly is. We love them. And we're so glad that our college folks are back here. We have our three college students back here, and we're so glad they're with us. And God bless you. All right. Let's see, who else have we got on our prayer list we need to mention here? Mentioned Fanny, and Fanny was on our prayer list, but boy, we're glad you're back in your pew, Fanny. Amen. All right. Okay. So much to be thankful for. God is good, isn't he? God just blesses us. That's wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that God has equipped us and helped us and got doctors and everything? And boy, we have all these ailments and different things, and he just helps us out so wonderfully. And he's a great God. And so we need to pray, Heavenly Father, for our nation, for the leaders, the service people, the nursing homes, as we mentioned. You know, I'm so thankful we got nursing homes, care for people and so forth. And I'm just so thankful we have people that have the abilities and love and desire to care for people like that. And so pray for them, and then pray for this church. And we want to be a shining light. We want to be encouraging to people around here. We want to be help to each other. And we thank you for being here and being a part of our church and being a help to one another. And so God is so good, yet we have so many needs and things in our lives. We want to talk to God about them right now.
Now, for prayer, here's your number 157, sing the first and fourth verse, and I will have the prayer. That's all we're saying. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross.
Sinner.
cherish your rugged cross.
Thank thee for this another opportunity granted us to gather in your house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us through the further exercise of service. Be with Brother Benny as he brings the message. Each individual open up the hearts and receive the message that they are. Now go with us and guide us and keep us in thy service. These words we ask in thy name. Amen. And the invitation hymn would be number 299.
Just think, next week he'll be the same age as me. Won't that be wonderful?
Yes.
Y'all better turn your hearing aids down. I'm ready.
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. In came the Savior, my blessed Savior, to save.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kathleen, and choir. Thank you so very much. Virginia, where's Virginia? Yeah, thank you, Virginia. Hey, fellas, what do you think about the latest Easter bonnets? By the way, could you give them a hand? Years ago, that used to be a big thing, didn't it? All the ladies had a new Easter hat. That gave for a lot of conversation. People talked about those Easter hats for 2-3 weeks. Easter bonnet. Okay. Shocking but wonderful surprise for these women who went to the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning I really want us to look at the resurrection and maybe take a closer look at it and a little bit. And I really don't want to go back to John and look at a couple of things back there that Jesus said. In John 19 and 30, as a matter of fact, Jesus was taken, or he allowed them to take him, as we said in our Bible class this morning. They didn't take Jesus. Jesus gave himself over to them. And but as he was on the cross, and he was dying, and he said this in verse 30, I believe it is, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, they offered him up, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What was finished? If you're looking at that word there, I want you to notice what Jesus said. Jesus said, it is finished. Jesus did not say, I am finished. And I'm so glad, aren't you, that Jesus didn't say, I'm finished. What is it that was finished? The scribes, the priests, the Pharisees, they thought they were finished with Jesus. The rulers, especially the Roman authorities, they thought they were finished with Jesus. Satan was so sure that he was finished with Jesus. But I'm so glad and so thankful that Jesus wasn't defeated, that Jesus wasn't finished. What was finished? What was finished that Jesus was talking about? The fulfillment of the law was finished. Jesus said, I've come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. He fulfilled it. The sacrifice of man's sins had been paid for. Jesus took our place on Calvary. You and I should have died. We all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, and you and I should have been on that cross. We had a beautiful, beautiful song. A beautiful lady sang a beautiful song. However it was, we had a lady sing about that this the other night. We should have died on that cross. We should have suffered and died. But Jesus died there to pay the penalty for our sins. He died a death that you and I should have died. He took our place. He suffered and died that I might live. And man no longer has to tote the sacrifice. You know, isn't it wonderful? You didn't have to get your donkey out and load him up with a sacrifice and take off to Jerusalem and get the priest to sacrifice that for you. Amen. That's finished. That's some of the things Jesus is speaking about there. It's finished. Those are over. It's done with. The priesthood, done away with it. You used to have the priest. You had to go into the priest. You had to pay the priest pay the priest for that. And you had to get the priest to do your sacrificing for you. And so, no. It's finished. Jesus now is our high priest. He is the high priest. The veil that was rent, there was a veil in the temple. And it was the idea that God dwelled back behind that veil. And only the priest could get back there. The high priest. Not just any priest, but the high priest. The rest had to stay out. They couldn't communicate with God. They couldn't have a relationship with God. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent down, off. Now we as man, we are open. It is open for us to come to God. We can have a relationship with God. It's finished. That's what Jesus is talking about when it's finished. The sin debt had been paid, that which God required for the redemption of mankind. It's finished. It's done. It's over. Paid for. Jesus had died, had to die, that sin of of selfishness, of hatred, of greed, and all the other dark all the other dark forces of human condition had to be directed on him. And he said, it's done. It's finished. To sum it up, Jesus had to die on the cross so the sins of mankind could be done away with and we could have be reconciled to God. God made man to fellowship with. He made Adam. And the scripture says that God came down in the cool of the evening and fellowshiped with Adam. Sin separated them. No more fellowship, no more direct fellowship. Moses had the privilege of talking directly to God. Very few did through the Old Testament time. But now you and I, we've been redeemed, we have a relationship, opened up for us to have a relationship with God. And Jesus said it's all done on the cross. When he says it's finished, all that was taken care of. Romans 5:10 says, For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Now look at this. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His death did away with our sins. His resurrection brought life, new hope. Today, as you look at the resurrection, and as you look what it means to mankind, wherever you are, it's new hope to you. The resurrection today, as we look back at Jesus and brought life back into Jesus, and Jesus brought life to the community, and if you look at the resurrection today and what he did for you, new life will come into your life. You can have new hopes, new dreams, and they can come true as you look to them through Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, the one that died at Calvary. One is resurrected there. But now we come. Jesus has died. He's been in the tomb, but he paid the penalties. So when you read the book of John, you can understand, can't you, little bird? It's finished. Jesus wasn't finished. He was finished with what God had him to do there. Now, as we come to the book of Luke in the verse 24 that we just read just a few months ago, we have Jesus that has, he says it's finished. But now a new era comes on, a new takeover. Jesus wasn't finished. The records here are the women coming to the early hour of the morning, carrying these spices for to give Jesus, give the honorable burial. The Jews didn't embalm. The Jews just used spices, and they'd use hundreds of pounds, 200-300 pounds of spices, and then they'd take a linen cloth and wrap that body up. But the Egyptians, they embalmed. And if you remember when the children of Abraham, they was in bondage of Egypt, and Jacob went down there. Joseph was down there. You know the story about that. And Jacob died in Egypt, and it says they embalmed him. The Egyptians embalmed, much like we do today. They would preserve a body, and we see some of them that have been held over for 2-3 weeks and so forth. I hate to even mention, but that dreaded evil guy that died in here just a few months ago, and they kept him, and they couldn't find ancestors, and they fought over him and all that. It just shows you embalmment preserves bodies. And that's what Egypt did. But the Jews didn't do that. They just used spices and wrapped them. And the only reason for that was to keep down the stench. And because the body is just a few days, begins to compose, and then begins to stink. And you remember Jesus was called to Lazarus die. And Martha said, go get Jesus. He was sick. And Martha said, you go get Jesus. And she just knew she had seen Jesus heal. And she knew that Jesus could do something for Lazarus, her brother. He's very sick. And Jesus tarried. And Lazarus died. And Jesus finally came. And Mary said, well, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. And you know the story how he said, well, he'll be resurrected. I'm the resurrection life. But they went out to the tomb, and Jesus said, show me where he's buried. And he went out to the tomb, and there they were. And he said to the fellows, roll that stone back. Martha said, no. No, he's been dead 4 days, Jesus. He stinketh. And so that was the reason for that they did. And so these ladies wanted to do a proper burial for Jesus here. It must have been a very sad, sad trip to that tomb, as we mentioned earlier. They had such high hopes. What is that song I was singing about that the other day? I've got high, high hopes. It goes on. You probably know it. But they really had high hopes, boy. I mean, they were, what was the old song? They were walking in, I can't think about that. High cotton. Okay, that's good word. Yeah, boy, when they were following Jesus, just a few days before, they walking on high cotton, man. They got this Jesus going before them. But yet, now they've saw him. Wicked hands put him on a cross and crucified him. He's dead. He's in the tomb. He didn't get buried right. We got to do a better job than that. He's worthy of our better preparation for his burial. And so they prepared to do that. They're carrying those spices out, and they're sad as can be. They had thought that Jesus, you know, would bring the end to the oppression of the Romans. And they thought that he would put down the religious hierarchy, because the priests and scribes and stuff had made such a criminal type of thing. Actually, they'd been crooked as snakes and that treated their people awful and took from them and stole from them. Actually, took what they shouldn't have took from them. And they were oppressed by the Romans. They said, boy, Jesus gets on the throne, boy, we'll be all right. But now he's dead. And they're sad. I mean, you know, if you got the leader dies and people get sad, things don't go, you know, things kind of stop. The wheels quits turning. And so it happened here. And so they came near the tomb and they saw the stone and rolled away. That probably gave them more sadness. Oh, well, what's going on here? What's going on? The tomb is open. We see it. It's daylight enough. And look, hey, Mary, look, Joanna, somebody's rolled that stone away. Well, they probably, you suppose they took Jesus' body. And they go, then they near the tomb and they peek in the doorway and it's empty. And I can hear Mary Magdalene, where have they done with my Jesus? What have they done with my Jesus? That's what she asked the gardener. She asked Jesus that when she thought it was the gardener. What have you done with him? You can feel a little of that, can't you? The sadness and stuff. And they just came looking for a body. They wanted to do a proper burial on this body. And now it's gone. Where's it at? Luke 4:7, they were much perplexed. They were really disturbed. They were beside themselves. And behold, now, two men stood by them in shining garments, and they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, these were angels. This bright clothing, we know they're angels because of the brightness, all these products that Kim sells, I know they're good, and so forth. Maxine's used some of them, and they'll shine your car. They'll shine your bar, whatever, and make it bright. But you haven't got anything, Kim, that'll make these clothes this bright. When you see this brightness, you know this is divine. This is heavenly. This is holy. And they fall down before them. And as they do, you know, often when we read the angels comes and the first thing the angel will say to them, don't be afraid. It doesn't tell them here. It doesn't say that here. I don't know why. But just say they were frightened. But I think the angels were more anxious to tell them what's taking place. And so he tells them. He says he's not here. Well, they already know that. Tell them something good, angels. They know. They've looked in there. They don't see the body. He's gone. Where's he at? And he said he's risen. He's risen. As he spake to you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day raised again. And they remembered that. And I'll share with you what I told them earlier this morning. there is a great need for you to be just right where you are this morning. There's a great need for you to have been here at 10 o'clock. There's a great need for you to be in our 5 o'clock Bible study. And this passage teaches us that and tells us that and insinuates that in any way you want to put it. Because you're forgetful. I'm forgetful. We are forgetful people. And we need to be reminded. It says, hey, the angel said, don't you remember what Jesus told you back in Galilee? He told you he was going to come to Jerusalem. He set his face to come here. He said, I must go down there and be handled and die on the cross. Don't you remember? Oh, they said, yeah, now we remember it. So you see, we need to be reminded. This table, as we prayed over and talked about it just a minute, read about it, prayed over, that is a remembrance. I just heard last week someone criticized me our faith because we take of this emblems every week. And they say, we take it every 6 months. And no, that's all right. You do what you want to do. We're going to do what we're going to remember our Lord as much as we can. Now see, if I don't get around the Lord's table and go out here in the world for 6 months, I might forget about the Lord. And I don't want to forget about my Jesus. Do you? I want to be reminded about my Jesus as often as I can. I got a Bible in my bathroom. I got one in the bedroom. I got one in the kitchen. I got one in the living room. Every time I walk back in, I just can't think. Every time I see that, I can't do nothing but think, Jesus. I want to be reminded every way. And I want you people to remind me. And then we just have such fun in our Bible class. You know, I remind them and they remind me. We need to be reminded. And it's so important. If the only thing that you get when you're in a group is you're reminded of how God loves you and what Jesus did for you and how he died on Calvary for you and how he raised from the dead that you might have life. You need to be reminded of that. I need to be reminded of that. We're forgetful people, and this is a very good demonstration. These people are just days ago. It's just been a few days, a week or so. They's back in Galilee, and Jesus told them. And angel said, don't you remember? He told you he was going to die. Oh, yeah, doggone, that's right. He did. Well, he's risen. He's not here. Remember his words. These women didn't anticipate that. That was just a thing that when they saw Jesus hanging on that cross and when they seen him laid in that tomb, their mind had nothing on it. Nothing was there but he's dead. I don't know how you talk about your mind sometimes. You know, I mean, your mind just stops. That's all they could go. That's as far as they could. He's dead. But the angel says he's living. And they remembered that. Here they come, bearing these spices. All they was wanting, dead body. They just wanted to give Jesus a proper burial. Mine, in their mind, he's dead. That's it, done. I was telling them this morning, a lot of people sit around in the churches today, and they live just like Jesus is dead. No life in them at all. Hey, and Apostle Paul talks about that life of Jesus, the power of the resurrection being in people. Boy, if you get a little of that power. Well, they anticipated nothing more than just anointing that body. It is here that we see the wonder-working power of God. It is here we see the wonder-working power. Jesus died by the hands of evil men, but love is more powerful than evil. Evil man's took his life. Love of God raised him up. Peter said in the book of Acts, first chapter there, first, second chapters he's talking about. And he said, you men crucified him. This Jesus whom God has raised up. Power of God to raise him up. God's love is stronger than any evil. Evil only brings death. Let me ask you, all the bombs that went off across the nation last year, How much life was brought by them? Sadly, and shouldn't mention, but all the school shootings that took place, how many got life out of that? Evil brings death. All it can do is take life. The lives had been taken by the bombs, and the shootings are nothing but pure evil. Evil mankind. That committed out of hatred. It's committed out of envy, out of strife, out of jealousy, out of greed. Evil. Jesus said the thief come, John 10:10. Said the thief cometh but to steal and to kill. I'm glad he wasn't finished with that verse, aren't you? But I am come, he says, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. More abundantly. That's God's love. That's God's love. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dark tomb is the strongest, most powerful demonstration of God's love for you and me. I mean, you think about that, folks. God could created this earth and all that's in it, and you and me. And it took God's power to do that, but that's nothing to what it took to raise one from the dead. And he demonstrated, I have a greater love for you than you can ever imagine. Can you imagine the love it took for a man to lay his son? Think about Abraham. He had to have a love for God to take his son out on that mountain. Can you describe that love? I can't. Can you imagine that love? I can't. But however great it is and however you can find to compare it with, God's love is that. And he demonstrated right there. The wonder-working power of God demonstrated in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, you know, the Pharisees, and they asked Jesus a foolish question one time, and Jesus told them they did err not knowing the scriptures. And he said, you make a mistake not knowing the scriptures and the power of God. Not only did they not know the scriptures, but they didn't know the power of God. Listen, if you know the scriptures, you're going to get a little handle on the power of God. The Pharisees, they fell real short on knowing the power of God. The Apostle Paul says, I want to know him. He was speaking to the Corinthians. He said, I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. I want that resurrected power in my life. Oh, Paul got mocked. They made fun of him when he preached the resurrection. He not only wants to know Jesus, he wants everyone else to know Jesus. He wants to not only know that power, he wants to feel that power. My desire for you this morning is that you know Jesus as your personal Savior, that you can feel that resurrected power. Listen, if you know Jesus, if you don't know Jesus, and you come to know Jesus, he'll raise you up, and you'll have a life that you have never imagined. Your life will become so powerful. Things will happen for you in such ways that you would never dreamed of. You will experience things from God's loving hand that you never thought you would ever be worthy of. All comes through the power of the one who I want to know him, and I want to possess it, he says. This should be our desire, to know Jesus. I want to know him more. I'm a little bit like Apostle Paul. I want to know. The Apostle Paul, boy, he really knew Jesus. He talked more about Jesus than anybody else that lived. And probably knew more about Jesus then. He'd learned about Jesus. He wants to know more. What little I know about Jesus, I want to know more. Don't you? Because I know, as Paul says and the scripture says, if I know Jesus, there's a power that works in your life that does wonderful things for you. Isn't it great? Listen. if you really believe and know the resurrection is real, and I really do, if you really believe and know the resurrection is real, and by the Holy Spirit that power is working in you, I've jotted down a few things I want to, let me read them off to you right quick. You won't have to worry about the sagging economy. You won't have to worry about the interest rates or inflation. You won't have to worry when the doctor says, we need to run some more tests. You will know. You will know that somehow God's help is on the way. And God's help will bring you through. The power, the wonder-working power of God working in your life will bring you through. Take you over. Whatever it is. It just happens that way. Can't explain it all, but it happens that way. If it's real, and if it's really real to you, and I hope you get what I understand. It is real. I don't have to say if it's real. I said if it's real. But it's real. The question is it real to you? It is real, and if it's real to you, your life will be changed. Your life will be changed. And folks, that's what the resurrection story is all about. If you believe that Jesus died, and you believe that he's buried, and you believe that he's resurrected, he ought to be sticking out all over you. He ought to be shining right out of you. The wonder-working power. I can see the power of God working in people's lives. Isn't it wonderful to look around and see your Christian friends, your Christian brothers and sisters where God is working in their lives, and you know it's not them. You know it's the wonder-working power of God, and it's all because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the power that's there. Well, folks, that's the resurrection story. If you believe that Jesus died for you, believe that he is buried and believe that he is resurrected, people will know that you're a part of that family just by looking at you. I like what they said about Moses when he came off the mountain with God and he was shining. He said, he's been with God. Hey, when you leave this place today, when you go home with the family, I would hope somebody would look at you and say, they've been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. Just look at them. Isn't that great? Well, let me say this as we close. If you will put your faith in the resurrected one and can trust God to catch you up or resurrect you into eternal life and into his heavenly home, you will experience a great and wonderful life here. Now, as we said before, we come together like this, and I look out here and I see all you good, wonderful people, and you all look so good, and some of you I know really well, and some I know half well. And maybe some I don't know too much about. But you do, and Jesus knows, God knows your condition. And if you haven't put your faith in the resurrected one, if you haven't received him, if you haven't died to your old sins, been buried in the water grave of baptism, raised to new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite you to come. We want you to experience the resurrection power in your life today and all the rest of your life. As we stand and as we sing, first verse only, come. Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back.
Jesus, no turning back.
Folks, thank you so much for being in the Lord's house. And this is a special day, and it's just so good to see you in the Lord's house. And it just is encouraging. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope that you have had a new glimpse of the resurrected Christ, and might you live the most powerful life, weekly life that you'll ever have.
because you sought Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and life. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of our service just now, we're so thankful to have so many good people out that love you and express your faith in you and our wonderful God. And we ask, Heavenly Father, now as we depart from here, that you would bless each and every one present. Go with them, guide them. Help them, Heavenly Father, to have good days. Help them to see good things to happen in their life. Help them to be good to others, we pray. Almighty God, you're so good to us, and we thank you. We just wish we had words to praise you good enough. But please take our thanks. We thank you for your goodness upon our people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.